On the Big Breakfast Catch-Up with Claire, Matt and Kimber, our best and worst moments of the week wrapped up in one place.
We discuss National Anti-Bullying Day and we got your advice on how to deal with school bullies.
We search for the funniest street names in Perth, which of course is all double entendre.
And Wildcat skipper Damian Martin wrapping up the basketball season.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Claire, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6am on Mix 94.5.
What a week it's been on the show.
It has been a busy week.
I didn't even know where the morning went. Are you serious? 8:51.
You only woke up about half an hour ago.
Oh, God. I don't know why today was such a struggle.
Yeah. You loved your sleep thing, didn't you?
And it's been a really lovely week, so I have no reason to be, you know, struggling to get out of bed today.
Yeah, was that sleep album? What was that guy's name? Richter or something?
Oh, the Richter scale.
Yeah, honestly, I've already downloaded it on Spotify. It's an 8-hour lullaby to go to sleep to. I'm so excited to go home and listen.
Sounds a little bit morose. But the strings come in and it sounds quite sweet, right?
Yeah, the strings come in and it picks up and it's just, it's a nice way to, I'm going to definitely be checking it out over the weekend.
Why don't you just, you know, have a hot Milo like everyone else?
Listen to that. Doesn't that really
get it is very nice.
Yeah.
It is very nice.
Well, you know, it hasn't been that much of a tough week, but I just feel like I could use it right now.
bit of cello.
Oh, well, there you go.
Hello.
Yeah, there has been a bit going on this week, so should we play our best of the week?
Yeah, let's do it.
Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber. Here it is.
Today's an extra special day.
My wife just walked in.
Yes, she did.
How weird is that?
Your wife walked in because today is 35 years on air for Dean Clare's.
That's a lot of talking.
Extraordinary amount.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Dean. Wow.
I've also been able to witness the personal moments in your life, like meeting your gorgeous wife, Laurie, at the Date My Dad event back in 2010.
Yeah, that was 8 years ago,
wasn't
it?
Where you weren't even the dad who was meant to be going on dates.
No, I sort of white-handed the guy who was meant to be our winning list.
Really?
Sorry, the guy.
Good
up.
Work, Claire.
It was meant to be someone else.
That is classic Claire.
The one and only in Perth, Marco Pierre White.
Good morning.
G'day, mate. How are
Lovely
you?
Lovely to be here. I'm having a great morning. I'm looking forward to my lunch, actually.
No, it's good to see you.
That's how we feel every day.
This part of the world has really good food. I went to a place called Bibb and Tucker.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh,
yep. I love
on the beach
Tucker.
In Fremantle.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Leighton.
What a great lunch that was.
You're very welcome to stay.
Yeah, you can stay.
I know, I like it.
In Australia,
it'd be very easy to stay. Yeah. I'd like to suffer from Stockholm Syndrome.
Yes, well, we'll keep you.
So
we'll
you
keep
can
you.
Kidnap me.
We want to know if having the kids at home is ruining your life. Nicola's in Butler. Nicola, do you want the kids to move out?
I do. I've only got one and she's 21. She moved out at 19 and I thought, hallelujah.
Nicola, we didn't think anyone would admit to wanting their kids to move out, but don't hold back.
Love and marriage, love.
We're into the business end of things with Married at First Sight. Tracy is joining us again. Tracy, good to see you.
Good to see you guys. Thanks for having me back.
Looking back, do you feel like you gave more chances than you would normally?
Dean definitely says all the right things sometimes, doesn't he? Mm. But, you know, when you're invested in someone, you just hold on to that glimmer of hope that what they're telling you is actually what they mean.
I've written down everything he said.
Have you? What, to avoid saying
it?
The book,
I hate
according
to, tell you,
to Dean.
The book's already been written and it's called The Game.
Oh!
Oh, wow. Go girl!
What do you know about Finland?
Not a great deal.
They are the happiest country in the world.
Let's cross the finish line here to our man on the streets. Mika Halu Hunkinen is on the line.
Hello, Claire, Matt and Kimber. I'm so happy to be on the Turf radio station, Mix 94.5.
Mika, look, what happens to people in Finland if they aren't happy?
If they're not happy, we deport them. You know, we have 73 days when the sun doesn't even go down, so even Kimber could get a tan in Finland.
Our wonderful leader, Big Mal.
If there's one word you enjoy saying more than Sandra Vaisi, it's your mate Christopher Pine. And he's celebrating 25 years in Parliament. You're going to throw him a party?
He's right here. He's just got off the roll.
Oh, is he? Oh, terrific.
Hello, it's Christopher Pine. Anyway, I am throwing a party. It's just going to be terrific. And I'm going to have a big piñata made like Parliament House and just whack it, whack it, whack it,
beautiful,
whack it until the stuff just comes out everywhere for everyone. Okay, Christopher, good on you. He's worked himself into a bit of a laugh.
On this day of celebration for Dean Clare's 35 wonderful years on the air, this is how you sounded in those early days.
On 6MB there, the sound this morning of Tom Paul Glaser and drinking them beers, shedding those tears.
I'm shedding tears now, that was awful.
You haven't changed at all, have you?
What were you saying, Muffin?
You're so bloody humble, but it's an incredible achievement.
Yeah, it is, and an honour to celebrate with you.
Should we go out with your philosophy from whatever it was?
Oh, no. What was it again?
Clarzy's philosophy, the day you can no longer laugh at yourself is the day everyone else starts to do it for you.
Oh, is that classic Clarzy voice?
That is classic Clarzy.
Oh, what a loser.
Well done, brother.
Thanks, guys. Hey, thanks, team.
Pleasure.
Thank you, because it meant we got that song on the air.
Yes. Yeah, thank you very much.
It was a pleasure to hear.
The Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber.
As a parent, there probably aren't too many things more frustrating, things that fill you with more anger,
yes,
and debilitating than having a child being bullied.
I bet, yeah.
And one of those big things that kicks in, especially as the man in a family, you get very angry and you want to deal with the incident or incidents in a personal, almost not violent manner, but your instant thing there is to protect your child.
Absolutely, yes.
So you can understand how people sometimes get into trouble like that. But today, it is a big day. 2 million students and a whole lot of people who care for those kids are taking a stand against bullying as part of a national day of action. It's the 8th National Day of Action Against Bullying and Violence here in Australia.
Okay.
Good. It's important. They're actually saying, too, that they've done this, you know, as you say, 8 times, but there's been a record number of students participating this year. So they think that it's double the participation rate of last year, which is bad news in terms of clearly bullying is on the rise and it's a problem, but great that so many people are standing up to try and do something about it.
Well, and you do wonder with these issues, whether it be racism or sexism that have become so apparent in the last sort of decade or whatnot, and whether that feels that there's more of it or we know about it now and we're trying to do it, which is maybe the sort of silver lining in that cloud that maybe there's not more bullying, but we're aware of it more and we're trying to help.
Yeah, I guess the game is changing too. I mean, last week they did a poll and Aussies revealed that this was on TV and online, that Aussie parents are more worried about cyberbullying than any other factor affecting their kids today, including drugs and alcohol.
Yep.
So, you know, and the thing keeps changing. You know, when we were bullied at school, and almost everyone's been bullied at some point, which doesn't make it okay, but it was different. And I don't think necessarily that the rules that maybe my parents might have said to try and fix bullying would necessarily apply today.
No, the facelessness of it all now, that anyone from anywhere in the world can jump on board and add to that bullying, you know.
And because of the online world, in particular Facebook, but Instagram as well is a big thing, and sometimes it can be Twitter and other social media forms, but it can be a situation where people know a lot more about you, so therefore the bullying can become more intense, and you've got that combination of the online bullying and the online messaging or the online stirring, and then it can go into the schoolyard as well. So you can get weird combinations. So it's definitely changed from when we were all at school.
Yeah, and I think just the vocal nature of social media, even for adults. I see grown adults bullying other adults online that should be absolutely ashamed of themselves. And
of course,
they'll be the first people who say, don't bully children.
Yes.
But I'm like, you're part of the problem, you know. This is a community issue. It's not just about our kids. I think everybody plays a role in this.
Yeah, it's interesting that they've got some tips for cyberbullying, and of course it is the new phenomenon. And this really sort of spoke to me is that, you know, the last thing you want to do if your child is being bullied online is that you don't want to limit their access to online, because they'll feel like that's a punishment on them,
even though
they're the victim. But obviously there are things you've got to do to protect them.
Yeah. I mean, we have a situation in our family. I don't need to get into specifics, where one of the kids sat to change schools. It got that bad.
Really?
It became a real issue, yeah. But there are details on things and approaches you can, and various actions you can take. The Mix 94.5 Facebook page this morning.
Great.
Have a bit of a look on there.
Yeah, and for parents who have been dealing with bullying, like, we'd love to hear from you. 1-333-53. How did you deal with your child's bullying? You know, I don't know if it is as simple as just tell the teacher, or I've gone down to the school. I mean, maybe people have had results from that, but it'd be really interesting to know what people are doing to handle their child's bullying and to protect their kids and make their kids realise too that bullying, once they get out of school and once they that changes,
it's a different world.
Yeah, it's a whole new world.
And it's funny because the National Day of Action Against Bullying and Violence, and you can't underestimate that can be the first thing that triggers in people's minds, that eye for an eye, or that I'll deal with this kid myself. And that becomes very dangerous ground when you're heading onto school grounds and trying to deal with a bullier, a bully in a school ground, and that has happened many, many times over the years.
Oh, yes.
It's not the way to deal with it.
Plenty of parents who don't know that their child is a bully.
Yes, true. That's right.
You know? Yeah.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
On this National Day of Action Against Bullying and Violence, and something like 2 million students taking part in the day's activities.
Yeah. Do you know what they'll be doing? Just making a stand, I guess.
Yeah, they're saying they're doing poster competitions, okay. They're doing pledge walls, special events, they'll do lessons surrounding it.
Yep.
Things like pledge walls, and they're quite important, you know, asking children to make a commitment to not bully one another and to stand up for bullying when they see it happen around them. And they're life lessons, you know, that's to stop things happening in the workplace later as well.
Yeah, it's a bit of a call to action. Bullying no way is what the schools across the country are saying today.
Yeah,
pretty cool.
We want to know what it's been like and how you've dealt with your child's bullying. Jodie's in Auburn Grove. Jodie, what did you do?
Well, I mean, I myself was bullied, so it helped me to identify the signs when my stepson was getting bullied. Now, he's been into it for about 3 years now.
Yep.
He does not have a social media account.
Right.
Full stop.
Mm-hmm.
He is 15 and he has a safe place where he doesn't get attacked at home.
Mm-hmm.
So he's able to go to school and we deal with it and communicate with the school over what's happening. Mm. And then when he comes home, it's all switched off. He doesn't have to worry.
And Jodie, is that hard for him? Does he also feel victimised and left out because he isn't able to have a social media account, or actually that's what he wants?
That's actually what he wants. We've done it for a few years, so I think it's been conditioned before he went into high school. Though he does have some other closed groups that he does have his actual friends on.
Yep.
But he's right off social media.
Okay.
Mm. Well, he's certainly not missing anything. There are plenty of things I see on social media from adults that I think are completely disgraceful that I wish I was tapped out of.
Yeah.
But it's something I'm highly passionate about and I wish I could just block it out myself.
Yeah, yeah. The safe place at home is good. Yeah, but we know all about the anxiety of that getting ready for school feeling.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah. Thank you, Jodie. That's great.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's go to Cavisham. Colleen, how did you deal with your child's bullying?
I have two boys, aged 8 and 11, and I'm a teacher myself, and I had to speak to them about bullying because they get bullied quite a lot, but I spoke to them about the fact that it wasn't about them, it was about the bully, and I told them that really they're a target solely because they're one of the few children at their school that ride or walk to school.
Right.
So they're basically, you know, the bullies are out there looking for a target. There's not many to choose from. So unfortunately, they get bullied a lot. But I, you know, really emphasised to them it wasn't about them, so that it didn't affect their self-esteem and understood that it was very much about the bully.
Mm. Yeah, well, it's hard to get kids to see past, you know, that is their whole world for so many kids.
Yes.
And it's hard to get them to see that, look, in a couple of years when you're out of school and you're your own adult, none of those people will matter.
No.
They're, you know, they're completely insignificant and it's, you know, very difficult to get that into our kids' heads, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You just have to, you know, emphasise it again and again and let them know that it's not them. It's, you know, very much the onus is on the bully and they just need to stand up to them and look after each other.
Yeah. Mm.
Thanks, Colleen.
Bullies are looking for a target.
Well, that's the thing, looking out for each other and not being the person who lets it happen, like standing by watching other people get bullied.
Yes. Yep.
Jeanette's in Thornley. Jeanette, how did you deal with your child's bullying?
Well, my child was bullied for quite an extended period of time, but over that time, with my communications with the school, I made sure I kept a copy of everything. I wrote a diary of every event. I spoke to my son about it to make sure that, you know, he wasn't embellishing things or things like that, because children can make themselves out to look the victim. But I documented everything, and then when I felt that it got to the point that he really needed more help than what the school had been offering me, I took the diary down to the school to make sure they could see the chain of events, what had been done by the school, what had been done to him. And because it was documented, they were very serious about their approach and they handled it fantastically. And he was able to come out the other side and be able to enjoy going back to school again.
And Jeanette, through documenting, if your son's a part of that, does that help also keep the communication open and maybe help him sort of not be as emotionally attached to it, because he can see that he has to just document these things and help you write them down so that, you know, in case you need them.
Yeah, we had a serious talk about, you know, what was happening and how he felt and what was the action taken by the staff. And he was able to sort of verbalise everything, and he felt more comfortable with it because he knew that's what I was doing. Mm. He knew that there was going to be a result.
Mm.
Everything documented, or sadly a bit like a lawyer walking into the
yes.
Supreme Court
yep.
with the trolley.
Yeah.
Well, they were very good about it. I mean, they photocopied everything.
Yep.
As I had all the emails, I had all the events, you know, and that just proved that there was a chain of events. It wasn't me coming up and saying, yeah. oh, you know, this happened on this date and this happened on that date, blah, 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 which, you know, if you just walk in unprepared, then you really don't have any backup to your statement.
Yeah, that's good action. Advice. Well done, Jeanette. Yeah.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Now, I've told you guys before, growing up in Beckenham, I think they sort of ran out of ideas for street names when they built Beckenham.
Right. Oh, because there was a lot of galaxies.
Galaxy, Gravity. I was on Gravity Street. There was, you know, Mars Court, Jupiter Way, you know.
Uranus?
Look at that. Uranus. It's like, doesn't matter how old you are, still gets a giggle out of a man, doesn't it?
Yeah. It totally does.
Say it again.
Captain Paul.
Well, you'll love this because, of course, we know there are certain street names in Perth, in our beautiful city, that I would personally love to live on these streets.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
But, of course, the problem is that their signs get stolen because people have got a great sense of humour.
Well, yeah. And yeah. When people nick a street sign, I don't think they realise how big it is until they get it home.
Yeah.
Because right. once you put it in your house, you realise that's a big old street sign.
Because they're up pretty high up the poles pretty much,
yeah,
aren't they?
Yeah, they're huge. Yeah.
But if you're in Mandurah and you live in Allnut Street, you're going to grab that. You know, you have to.
Put it in the pool room.
Hancock Way.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. The people in Innaloo are struggling on Stoner Ave.
Yes, I've been there a few times.
Everybody on Stoner Ave, they're getting their sign nicked all the time.
Because people are proud.
Yeah.
It is one of those, I mean, look, I'm not condoning this behaviour, right, but it is kind of, it seemed like a rite of passage to sort of nick witches' hats.
Oh, yeah,
and put
right.
them in your okay. bedroom until your mum goes, what the hell have you
Why
got
Why have you got this what? Filthy, dirty thing in your room?
Witch's hat there, yes, I know. But there are some cracking ones. I love it. I told you about Wiener Cutoff.
Yeah.
But, of course, the thing
street.
About them is that, like, there's Geeky Lane, right?
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is, you know, funny.
I like that.
It is. And, of course, most of them have these historical backgrounds. So they're these from the Geeky family who are one of the early people in that particular suburb.
Oh, that's the family right. name, right.
Well, because I've got a friend who lives off Compton Street.
Yeah.
And when the movie Straight Outta Compton came out, that sign just kept getting stolen repeatedly.
I bet it did.
Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah. My brother lives in Queensland, so when he goes DJing, sometimes there's a place in Redland Bay where he works, but he can never find Banana Street. I wonder why. It's such a popular street sign to nick.
Anyway, just turn left at Black Butt Road in Woodlands and you'll find your way. Oh, of course, Holden Street. You can imagine how often that gets near.
Holden versus Ford. Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Lucky we've got GPS to get us everywhere now, right?
Mm.
Every time I hear about ACDC Lane in Melbourne, I just want to go, but I'm not the only person who would steal the sign from ACDC Lane.
Oh, yes.
How good would that be?
It's very rock and roll.
Yeah, but the Akadaka fans would not be happy.
No, they
wouldn't.
It's
very kind of young man first moved out of home.
I think if I went
to a grown man's house now and saw a street sign in his place or in his man cave, I'd be like,
it is a deal breaker.
Well, yeah, it's time to grow up.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for Brekkie.
No, let's not play that one. Play this one. Here he is, our beloved champ, Damien Martin from the Wildcats.
Oh, still from the Wildcats. I didn't think I'd get the invite in this week after getting knocked out last week in the semi-finals, but it's good to be back on.
Mate, you can't win everything every year. That's sport.
I wish we could. Today's the first game of grand final, and it was tough waking up, seeing it all across social media, but I'll have to watch it from a couch as opposed to being on the court.
Yeah. Also, Damo, you're our teammate and our friend, and you are always welcome in here.
Ah, thanks. I'll just show up. I've got a lot of spare time now, so I might just show up Monday through Friday.
Oh, you can come in for us.
Well, it's a big breakfast after all. We could do with more guests.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, it was a really disappointing end to a hard-working season. I mean, what's the moment that keeps annoying you, the bit that keeps replaying in your mind that you think,
that Wham video.
That's the one thing I wish I could get rid of.
The season's regrets.
No, it was crazy. Bryce Cotton made a huge play to put us up 7 with about 90 seconds to go, and you never – convinced that, you know, the game's over to the siren. But at that moment, I thought, yes, you know, this is going to happen.
Game three, yeah.
And then the next 90 seconds, we sat in the locker room after the game, numb, couldn't believe what happened within those 90 seconds, you know, giving up offensive rebounds from free throws, which never happened. It's a cardinal sin.
Sure.
NY's, you know, calls that were a bit 50-50, a bit iffy. And then before you knew it, they're up 1 point. We're like, what just happened?
Yeah.
And there was dead silence in the locker room because, you know, you know that the guys you're sitting alongside, no two seasons are complete with the exact same team. So some of the guys won't be there next year. And there's that sadness of not being able to win a championship and also knowing you're not going to be training alongside some of the guys you're sitting next to in the locker room. But that's sport for you. Only one team can advance. And unfortunately, it wasn't us.
And after a loss like that, which ends the season, are you able to sort of celebrate an hour or two after that? Or does it do you really have to go off on your own and then meet again the next day or a couple of days later?
Yeah, we got together that night, so we're in the locker room. We had some post-game functions we had to attend, but then after that, we all got together at an assistant coach's house. But yeah, it just didn't feel right.
Yeah.
It was hard to get into the spirit. If anything, the wives and girlfriends, they had a great time.
Yeah, right. Of course I did.
Good on you, ladies.
They were enjoying themselves. But yeah, we got together again earlier in the week, and you reminisce on what was a good season. But to be honest, in years gone by, there's a lot of basketball talk. This time, it was just more about enjoying each other's company, and we didn't talk much about basketball at all.
Yeah, it's just disappointing, mate, but so much success for the club over the years. But okay, MVP. You want to hold on to your MVP. It's not always that easy because it gets a lot of attention, and Bryce Cotton, we love him, we want him.
Oh, absolutely. I'm tempted to give out his home address so people can go and knock on the door and beg him to stay. So
if you see
Bryce Cotton in the streets, tell him we want him back. He is the best player in the league. Hell of a teammate. So, yeah, I dare say he'll be our number one priority. Yeah.
What's
trying to re-sign
like,
him.
What, how can we retain him? Can we send him some donuts, flowers?
Chocolate?
Like, what's he?
Yeah, well, he's a vegetarian. I don't know how you word this because he's a vegetarian who loves calamari.
Pescatarian.
So maybe a lot of pasta and some calamari sent to his house. It would be fantastic.
Like every day?
Every day. Until he signs on the dotted line.
It's not easy, mate. We've lost, you know, for various reasons, Ennis and Lish and these guys over the years, some of them, you know, wonderful champions, but it's not easy. It's a negotiation. They're working on their careers, and James Ennis had to go back to America. Like,
you're exactly right. And he's one of those guys that's going to have a lot of people knocking on his door, not just across the NBL, but in Europe, you know, possibly the NBA, Asia. So there's a lot more money out there. So it's about selling lifestyle. Okay. So if anyone's got some free dolphin trips or fishing adventures.
Come on, Red Army, get into it.
Whatever you want, Bryce, we'll give it to
right.
you.
That's all right. Enough about the team. You've still got a bigger pastures to go to, greener pastures, things to do.
Yeah.
Boomer games.
Yeah, can't quite put the legs up just yet. Off to Cairns where our games are being played. And then if you make the semi-finals, you head down to the Gold Coast to play and see at the ceremony at the Commonwealth Games. So I can't wait. So if you come into Bendat Basketball Centre and see myself, Angus Brandt and Jesse Wagstaff training on one court, you'll probably see in the distance Jared Kenny by himself in the distance because he's playing for New Zealand.
No, he's a Kiwi. So,
and they're the biggest threat, I would take it, once you've got over the Melanesian islands,
New Zealand and Canada will probably be our hardest threat, the biggest threats, hardest rivals. And it's going to be funny because the second game we play of the Comm Games is against New Zealand, and they obviously do the haka before every game.
Yeah, they do.
I can't wait to just stand eye to eye Jared Kenny. I've got some dirt on him, so I might just whisper a few things that happened through the season and see if he can continue.
What do they call that team? The Tall Blacks or something?
Yeah, the Tall Blacks.
Oh,
Tall Blacks.
No.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Well, go get him, mate. It's great to see you. I know it was disappointing for you, and there was a lot of emotion in the house at the arena on the other night.
There was, and it was an incredible atmosphere. So thanks to everyone that turned out this season. Hopefully we go further next year, but in the meantime, I'll try and bring a gold medal into the studio, even if it means stealing it from JK, but hopefully the Aussies get over the line.
Good on you, man. Beautiful. Damien Barton joining us this morning for the last time we'll play this one.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire Z, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.